Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, hello. We are rounding off our Women's Month special replays with Ulrike from Schneeurle in Germany. This one aired in September 2022, and we had an absolute blast learning all about Berliner Weisse, how it was saved from extinction, and why it should actually contain Brett. So follow along, listen to it again or for the first time. And while you're doing that, we're going to be taking a short break for Easter and we'll be back in your ears very soon. Now, for those in Dublin, just a reminder, Christina's book launch is happening on April the 8th at Rascals, and we do hope to see you there. Goodbye.
And welcome to the Beer Ladies podcast. I'm Lisa and I am your host this week, and we are really excited to have a special guest. So some of you may recall we've talked to a lot of different brewery folks here in Ireland, we've talked to some in the States, we've even talked to people in Rwanda. However, this, I think, and keep me honest, ladies, is our first venture onto the continent proper. So before I hand over to my co-hosts Tandy and Katie, I want to welcome Ulrike, or Ole Gans, from Berlin, and Schneeurle. How did I do?
Schneeurle.
Schneeurle. There we go.
You know.
Schneeurle in Berlin. So first of all, welcome, Ulrike. We're thrilled to have you.
Hi, greetings from Berlin.
thank you. So before we dive in, I'm going to say the usual things about, we really appreciate you guys liking, subscribing. We are at Beer Ladies Pod on most of the socials. That's your Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on YouTube. And we now have a link tree where if you look up Beer Ladies Podcast, you'll find our link tree. Easy to Google. It has links to all of our other places, all of our other socials, all of our episodes, but you can also support the pod there with buying merchandise, or you'll find links to our show notes. You can buy us a coffee or a pint, like, subscribe, all of those things. So we really want to say thank you for doing those things. And with that, going to do some quick intros, and then we're going to dive into the meat of this week's episode, where we're going to be talking to Ulrike about her career, about Berliner Weisse, and why it's so interesting. So we're really thrilled about that. But before we do that, I'm going to start with Tandy and say, Tandy, what are you drinking this evening?
What am I drinking? Well, I couldn't find a good Berliner Weisse, but I did find of course not. Yeah, definitely not here, Ulrike. You'll have to keep us honest. I did find this one from Tirol. It's a Yuzu Gozer, which I think is really cool. And wow. I've just cracked it open. But I must say that as a nod to our topic of the day, even though it's the wrong brand, I do have kind of the right shape of glass. So it's like a goblet, I guess. I think that's what I'd read, was that we drink Berliner Weisse out of like beautiful wide mouthed goblets. So I'm drinking a Danish beer from a Belgian, I guess, brewery glass. But yeah, Yuzu Goza, and Yuzu, for those who don't know, is a very like, it's almost a mixture between a lemon and a lime. So it's a citrus fruit, but it's extra punchy. And I love Goza because why not? And I love citrus. So yeah, this is doing it for me.
Excellent. Thank you, Tandy. And Katie, how about yourself? What have you got this evening?
I feel like a naughty child now because I'm not big into my sour beers at all, but I decided I had to go German for the theme, you know, Berlin. So I have a Weizenbock from Eyinger. So 7.1%. It's lovely. It's a Monday evening here and it's starting to get a little bit autumnal in the air. It's starting to get a bit cooler. But I did a year in Erasmus in Berlin, and I'm going to let people know my age here now, from 98 to 99. And when I was there, I don't think I ever came across a Berliner Weiss. So I'm really interested, you know, to hear the story of it, because that year in Berlin, like, really opened my eyes to amazing German lagers and German Weiss beers and things like that. And now I'm like, oh, why did I never came across that? And I'm sure Ulrika has a story or behind that I'm really eager to hear.
Absolutely. And we're about to turn over. I'll just say quickly, I've got what says it's a Berliner Weiss. We'll say maybe, maybe not. We'll get the rating at the end. I have a Sour Susie from Lervig in Norway. So I will say it's very different from the beers I have had from Schneeule. So we can chat about that a little bit. Not unpleasant, but different. But with that, Ulrika, what have you gotten? We wanted to tell us a little bit about sort of your take on Berliner Weisses and how you got into brewing. We'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, we'll see. But first, I want to show you how to serve Berliner Weisse, right?
Yes.
You definitely need a glass. Wide open.
Excellent.
So the old Berliner Weisse glasses are more round. So like this. This is more like a goblet, like yours, right, Penny? Mm. And then you have to have definitely an opener, because sometimes the beer is really happy that it sees you. And so it comes out of the bottle and want to kiss you then. So definitely don't do it like I now, sitting on my sofa and just next to my computer. But have a glass right next to you and an opener. Fast open, and then the rule said decanters as clear as possible from the yeast, because in my beer is yeast on the bottom. So it can ferment and ferment.
Absolutely.
Till you open the bottle. So
so it can be very exciting.
Well, that makes perfect sense as well, because it's a style that has got bottle fermentation or bottle conditioning built in, I guess. And I'm sure we're going to get to it more, but let's I guess, go back to Uli. We want to hear your story. How did you even get into beer? I mean, what are you drinking?
I'm so excited. Kennedy, the new Kennedy. You see, it's turbid. It's not clear.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's quite young Kennedy. So. It's
and that's the one that's quite hoppy. Yeah.
Session.
Brilliant.
When we say young, how young are we talking?
End of, it's bottled end of August.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So in the 20s.
Excellent.
So around a month. So.
Fantastic. Yeah. For those just listening, Tandy is making some approving, nodding looks. We're very impressed. So.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome, and I want to try. I've got an order from your shop in my cart as we speak. So hopefully you deliver to Ireland.
I've done it. It does work. It does work. You can get it ordered and shipped to Ireland. So have done it. Worked well. All good.
Yeah, it's not that it's a bit expensive with the mail, of course, but somehow it works. Mostly it works.
Right. Yeah, within the EU, it seems okay. It's definitely easier nowadays than trying to order anything from the UK, where you never know what you'll be paying at the end of that. So
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So with that, how did you get into brewing? And then why Berliner Weiss? And I'm sure we're going to dive a little deeper into what we really mean by Berliner Weiss.
Yeah. Why I brewing? I started civil engineering. So, and that was quite boring, at least. And so I said, no, it's not my profession.
Hmm.
So kind of. And so I choose to study something different. So I started studying biotechnology here in Berlin, in TU Berlin. Because my first idea was microorganisms, chemistry, and maybe cleaning soil or water with microorganisms, stuff like this. So environment scientists, scientific stuff. And then I saw, oh, in TU, you could also study brewing technology.
Uh-huh.
Sounds also not, that sounds also interesting. And the Kommiliton was more older, was more man. So like in civil engineering, so not as much horrible young girls, you know, with these,
no, that's why,
go away. So I liked the men's drinking with them. And so, we'll see what's good in brewing, in studying brewing technology. And I saw, it's a lot. It's not just one part. It's biology, as a microbiology. It's brewing technology, of course. Also engineering, like Maschinenbau. Was heißt denn Maschinenbau? You understand
building,
what I mean?
Building your machines, making your machinery.
And apparatus, stuff like this. Yep. Also thermodynamic, physics. And so it was much more interesting than just so. And also it was so bottom and grounded. So that I said, when everything goes away and broke, so the people want to drink alcohol and the people have to live somewhere, so civil engineering and brewing technology should be the best you can have.
Oh, brilliant.
Exactly.
Like we need you in a zombie apocalypse. We're coming to your house.
That's it.
Yeah, you can build us a really good bunker and set up the whole brewing system for us, everything, and you can try and clean the soil if you want.
Yeah, you know? Why not?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, brilliant.
And Ulrika, are you from Berlin itself, the city? Yeah. Did you grow up there?
So I lived there since you are away, so kind of, because I moved to Berlin around 2000. And in this time, there was not much good beer in Berlin. So a lot of punker clubs, stuff like this. So wild parties with really cheap and not that good beer.
Oh, I'm just going to say, Ulrika, that the cheap and not that good beer in Germany is much better than the cheap and not that good beer in Ireland. Just going to say that.
Could be. That's the reason we have really, really problems with our craft beer scene, because our regular industrial beer, it's also kind of a craft beer, right. So often it's family brewery and stuff like this, but this is so on a high level. And the people said, why we have to change it? We don't need it to change, because this beer is really good.
Right.
Yeah. And so we stay in our 90 cents half a liter lager beer. So we don't want this special strange hopped or strange not with Reinheitsgebot brewage. Yeah, and so it's a bit difficult. And so I totally understand that this in 1919 was also no Berliner Weisse left, by the way. It was the last brewery was closed in 1992 around. This was Schultheiss.
Okay.
And the east side Weisse was also quite good. This was Vilna, so further was Vilna, so in the 50s, 60s. or earlier they call it Vilna, and they brewed it with the right techniques, so at least. But Radeberger Gruppe bought all the Berliner breweries after the walls falls down, and they closed these real Berliner Weisse breweries because the east side was too old. So the equipment goes directly in the museum, and Schultheis was too big because the people don't want to drink it anymore because it was too low in alcohol and blah blah blah, and they mixed it anyway with syrup, and so they said, okay, yeah, let's take this industrial Kindelweisse stuff.
Right.
We know Schultheis is better, but still it's much easier for us because we could brew the Berliner Weisse, the Kindelweisse, right next to our Pilsners. So, because have no Brettanomyces and no living lactobacillus. So,
Definitely. And I know the...
It's not that, wasn't that common in Katie's time here.
No.
Yeah. And I know the Kindle one, I think, was the first one I came across in the early 2000s. But you're right, so different. You don't have any of that Brettanomyces character at all. And then when I lived in Philadelphia, there was one called Ich bin ein Berliner Weiss, that was actually closer, I think, a little bit closer to some of your beers, where you could add the syrups on your own, so you would have your Woodruff or your Himbeer. I'm close to it, I hope.
Yeah.
But still, it was kind of missing that part. You had kind of the lactobacillus kind of flavor, but you didn't have the Brettanomyces kind of character. And I can see Tandy may have a question about maybe.
I do.
How are these different, and how? What's the real thing? So Tandy, dive in.
So basically. I literally learned today that traditional Berliner Weisse were made with Brettanomyces. I didn't know this. So I literally researching for this podcast, I was like, what? I didn't know this at all. The way that I've always understood or known Berliner Weisse is to be a low alcohol, slightly sort of tart beer, very refreshing, very effervescent, made with some portion of wheat. And the way that I'd always heard it was that you should drink it very young. So almost brew it, bottle it, and then drink it a couple of weeks later. And actually the younger, not the younger, the better, but definitely with, you know, I had never heard until today of aging a Berliner Weisse. Now, obviously this is because I'm clearly ignorant, but today I learned that what you're doing, Ulrike, is almost resurrecting the way that Berliner Weisse was made pre almost World War One, as opposed to pre-90s, which is fascinating to me. And for those listening or watching at home who are homebrewers, if you've only ever considered kettle souring your Berliner Weisse, it's not going to be historically accurate. Might be good, but not accurate. The other thing that I knew about Berliner Weisse was that almost only in Germany, but this addition of the syrups. I'd never had them with syrups before until, funny enough, we went to Craft Crew Brewcrow last year. They're an Irish brewery here, and they had all these different syrups. And I thought, oh, that's such a weird thing to add to a beer. Like, why would you want to change the flavor? But these things all came in different times of history and for different reasons. So, Ulrike, could you give us like a bit of a crash course in Berliner Weisse history, and then tell us why you've chosen to go, you know, so very traditional with the way that you brew them.
Yeah, crash course. It's not a one sentence.
Yeah.
you're lucky when it's under an hour. but you have to imagine a beer. Yeah, beer itself, it's 1,000 years old. And it changed also, of course, because techniques to do it, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the techniques and the knowledge we don't know anymore.
Right.
Because, they forgot it. So kind of. So how we forgot, almost forgot to brew a Berliner Weisse. So the Berliner Weisse style is around 300-400 years old. So eventually it starts in the time where we have also Gose. Goese. Gose is another talk also. So in this time, and you have to imagine there are 100,000 people in a swamp in Berlin. Yeah, Berlin was a swamp and two big rivers crossed here. So everything was kind of, swampy. Yeah. And imagine a lot of these people living here. So you can't drink water from the rivers anymore. And you have to drink beer. So it's low in alcohol. So, and this Berliner Weisse is a daily drink. Yeah. So everybody have to drink it. Children, pregnant, old, men, women, everybody. So, because it's sour. So, and sourness keeps the water safe. Yeah, for against coli bacteria, all the bad bacteria from the intestinal stuff. Yeah. So they have to drink it, and when it starts, or when they drink it, they don't mix it with syrup. Of course not, because 300 years ago, sugar was really expensive. So the cheap sugar started in 1830 around, the cheap sugar production, and really slowly. So in 1900 around, have Berliner Weisse the biggest amount, would say. So around, they brewed around 1 million hectoliters of this style in Berlin, and drank it, of course. And so also in this time comes the sugar cheaper and cheaper. And so they started it to see it like a lemonade, kind of, because it's sour. Is sour and sweet and fruity, or herbal, or with a special taste. So in the last century, they start to drink it with syrup. Before they want to, they drank it without, of course. And but imagine you drink the whole day Berliner Weisse, you want also a little bit be drunk in the evening. So you add, of course, schnapps. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And this was Berliner Weisse with Strippe. Berliner Weisse mit Strippe means this is caraway liquor.
Yeah, it's caraway schnapps, isn't it?
Caraway schnapps. So yeah, cool. It's a bit sweet. So, but also caraway. Yeah, it's a bit strange, but it works. It's really nice, by the way. Or they added liquor. Also, Pomeranzenlikör, kind of stuff like this. So it was possible to get drunk at least also. And usually the people drink it fresh, because they drink it all day. So it was a question, we go on the water pump on the street, or just around the corner to the next brewery and pick up the young beer. And the Berliner Weisse breweries just brewed young beer, just main fermentation. And then it goes to the so-called Bierverleger. It was a beer bottle business, kind of. Yeah, they put it in barrels and bottled it and sold it to the bars or whatever, to the drinkers in somewhere else. eventually, of course. Eventually, it gets this big name-wise, the Berliner Weisse, because the bottle maker, the bottle beer Verleger, makes, of course, commercials. So, yeah, you have to drink it. Here, I give you bottle, blah, blah, blah. And the normal Berliners bottle it themselves because it's expensive. Yeah, when someone else do it, then it's expensive. And then it was also common that they put the bottles in the basement or in a garden, in the earth, something like this, and aged it for a while. Mm. So, and this could be, yeah, 3 years or seven years or 10 years. Or they put it also when the child was born. So next in the cellar somewhere, and right here, we drink this beer when the child is 20 or 18, stuff like this.
Oh, wow, I had no idea. So,
yeah, so like with wine, yeah, with wine, yeah. I heard with wine is also. And the Berliner did it, told me, yeah, it's like champagne. No, it's better. So something like this. And this makes the Bretter Müsses. So Bretter Müsses, it's really important for the taste and for the character and what you can do with it. Because when you just have Sacher Müsses, yeah, everybody knows, then you have half a year. And then it's died. Mm. So it's autolyzed the yeast and it don't taste good. And the fresh yeast refresh also the beer always. Yeah. And so you can also play with the Bretter Müsses in this case. And I found it out when I studied. My professor for brewing technology wrote his PhD about Berliner Weisse brewing
or
the character of Berliner Weisse and what's in. And he found out, so you have to have definitely Bretter Müsses. And this is also a bit different than these Bretter Müsses from the Goose from Belgium. Okay. Yeah, because it developed of course in Berlin in the culture in how they do it, what they do with them and because you don't have to care about that, you don't know it because all the papers about Berliner Weisse is written in German, yeah. And then also in this special Schrift, what does that mean? In the letters, the special letters where the S looks like a F.
Oh yes,
Like this, so Frakturschrift.
Yeah, so the old style, the script this that is written
old,
in. Yeah.
Old German style. So, of course. So, and the most of the techniques and stuff like this wasn't in the papers,
right?
Because the German brewers don't want to share the secrets.
They would just pass secrets. It down, they wouldn't necessarily write it down, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And also around this 1900 they also started with the laboratory cultures and with a microscope stuff like this, and and Bretter Müsses, they saw the first time around 1904 or what was the first time they see this special yeast what looked like a fungus. So in this time they stopped scientific work on Berliner Weisse.
Oh.
So it was just they brewed it and this was a little bit so but the main interest was about Pilsner lagers, unsour beers, and stuff like this. And so, of course, the English-speaking communities have no idea what is Berliner Weisse because they can't read it.
Right.
So, and nobody told them, and nobody brewed it. So when I started have interest for this beer style, I just found papers how I kill Brettanomyces and lactobacillus, but not right. how to get it and how to grow it, how to care for blah blah blah.
This right. is, the sour was bad.
I have
yeah.
to learn yeah. and still learn. Yeah, to do it because nobody could told me.
Yeah,
what's the best? And so. I was quite lucky that I just studied it and have just theoretically thinking about brewing and what could happen with these special bacterias. And I'm not educated brewer, so from practice wise. So because all the brewers I know wouldn't do this.
Right.
So it's our, oh God, that's very
Most brewers would do anything to keep Brettanomyces out of their brew house at all times. It's just one of those off flavors, unless it's obviously added in deliberately. So yep, that tracks.
And also sours. Sours is also, oh, nah.
Yeah.
Of course, but Brettanomyces in the normal way to brew, you have contact with lactobacillus because lactobacillus grows also on malt, yeah, but not that much with Brettanomyces because in our days we have a lot of stainless steel stuff and not that much wooden stuff.
Right.
And Brettanomyces is adapted to wooden barrels or wooden whatever with beer contacted stuff. Yeah, and so yeah, and it's quite slow also.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh,
on
I wonder.
One hand, it's an advantage to yeah. brew with. On the other hand, not.
Yeah, I wonder if they could go back into some of those things they took out and put in museums and culture and wake up some old yeast that's just slumbering away in an old barrel or you know somewhere. I wonder. Fascinating stuff.
It's not possible in the barrel. You have to have a beer.
Yeah, that makes sense. You need to be living somewhere. Yeah.
I bet you someone buried some beers, some proper old style Berliner Weisses, and I don't know, something happened and they never dug them up. And they're there somewhere.
Could be in a shipwreck. Every now and then you find shipwrecked beer. So that could happen.
That could be. You will find.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Also Betamuses. I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Because in this time, a lot of beers was stored in wooden barrels. And when they are a bit stronger, definitely. And so definitely it's also possible that you get a Brettanomyces infection.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so interesting too, just thinking about that kind of sourness, whereas you think about what you often see as kind of the interpretation of Berliner Weiss, maybe like you said, in people who couldn't read any of the Fruchtur or even any of the German, where you often see now, maybe there's a sour beer, Tandy, like you were saying, like a kettle sour underneath, but a lot of the ones you see elsewhere are very sweet, just in terms of what's been added to them, like that come pre-mixed with all these different, often very, very fruity flavors. And what's your take on that? They're clearly not, you know, traditional as such, even though they may put the label on them, but they're very different beasts, clearly.
And also the taste changed.
Because
so
that's the thing about
when you
break,
have recipes of cake,
right,
150 years ago, it's like a bread.
Absolutely.
Like a cake, you would call it a bread.
That's very true. Much less sweet.
Yeah, that's true. And it's weird because Brettanomyces, as a yeast or as the organism, because nobody really knows what it really does, but what it does do is that it eats all of the very complex sugars that normal Saccharomyces can't eat. So but the trade-off is that it's slow. So that's why people will age beers for a really long time in a cask with Brettanomyces. And what it gives is maybe a slight sourness, but actually what it gives is this like complexity to the beer. Yeah. It gives you a bit of like a horse blanket and hay and leather and all these really interesting flavors that you can't just get from Lactobacillus or Saccharomyces. So it's a really interesting organism and has a really interesting yeast. And yeah, I didn't know that it was in a Berliner Weiss. So I'm fascinated by this whole discussion.
And Uli, I want to ask you, you know, the way a lot of European things are designated, you can't put the label, like you can't put the label champagne unless it's grown in Champagne. Has that been applied for a Berliner Weisse? Like it has to be brewed in Berlin and it has to have the Brettanomyces, the right yeast, and because it really should, right? Because it's a historic style.
At least, yes. Otherwise, we had something like Berliner Weisse also in Bremen, for example. And I think the beer style itself was also have its origin also in Hannover, so with the old Breuhahn beer, and so I think it would be nice when the brewer called it not Berliner Weisse. Okay, I know, especially the U.S. brewers and the U.S. people said, "Oh, German name." Named beer, German city named beer.
Yeah.
So because they also like Kölsch.
Right.
I don't know why, because Kölsch itself is a bit boring. So I would prefer a pale ale. At least it's a less tasteable pale ale, Kölsch. Yeah. And also a Kölsch, it's quite new beer style also. It have to be filtered, by the way, they call it, you have to call it Wies. I'm sure they love these beer styles named after German cities.
Yeah, because
I would prefer when they called it eventually, I don't know, Boston Weisse, or they used it in Florida, yeah, with these fruited.
Oh yeah.
Fruited vices, fruit kettle sours to say the Florida vice.
Yeah, make it properly local. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Really, so why not? Yeah. It's also a special style from this area, right?
Yeah, so, can be. Yeah. So there's a deeper, broader tradition, I guess, is what you're saying. Like now it ended up being just Berlin, but it was a broader, you know, kind of style previously, I guess. And it just kind of got smaller and smaller over the decades.
And also what I want to say is we need more names for the beer styles, the sour beer styles. Mm. So because, if you have a wheat beer, yeah? You have a light wheat beer, you have a dark blah, 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 and wheat bock. You have minimum three styles just for wheat Weizen beer. What's just with the Plato, yeah?
Yeah.
With a strong. And why not for sour beers? Yeah, you have Goes, Gose, Berliner Weisse. Eventually Lichtenhainer. Mm. But then it's not defined styles.
Yeah, you're actually right. Beers.
And it's a bit...
And interestingly, in homebrew competitions and the like, you know, a lot of people have to enter their beers into a fruit beer category, even if they're making a fruited, slightly tart, sourish ale. It needs to go into this like catch-all, which is a fruit beer, or you know, you can't almost put it into a Berliner Weiss because it doesn't match those criteria. It can't go into a Gose or a Gose because it doesn't match those. So it gets lumped into things. So it's not really a problem that only Berliner Weiss has, but yeah, it's a thing. That's like the taxonomy of beer names and categorization is a really big topic.
Yeah, that's true, especially in sour beers. So, and yeah, why not start it with this a little bit fantasy name of special beers, yeah? So why not? Yeah.
Absolutely.
We need more fantasy in this and not just call it after German cities.
Oh gosh. So,
and then
point.
We don't have the problem with this Berliner Weisse name. You have to brew it in Berlin. It's just a style.
Exactly. And it should be Berliner Weisse style rather than Berliner Weisse, you know. And it's like you're still paying homage to Berliner Weisse.
Yeah, but I would prefer also to brew to call the kettle sour style.
Yes,
even when they brewed in Berlin.
Because I agree, because I think that the distinction between adding Brett and just kettle souring is big enough to warrant its own category.
Yeah, it's hugely different taste. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Because it's different, right?
Yeah. I mean, to the point that a beer brewed with Brett, even if it's got lactobacillus, will never be as sour as a kettle sour beer. That's what I think. Well, you can change the pH, obviously, but Brett adds something different to sourness. It's tartness rather than sourness, right? And
metal
kettle souring, you can go very sour.
Beer sour.
Exactly.
Acids, so fatty acids. But yes, it didn't make sour. So
exactly.
But you definitely need lactobacillus or an sour tasting part of this beer, else it's really awful. So in my studies I had to try nine different Brettanomyces strains, and of course I have to try all of them,
right?
Also just clean Brettanomyces broths beers.
Oh wow,
it was interesting. Not that good.
Oh yeah, that would be
tough. I totally understand why the people said, "Oh, that's awful." So, oh no, this is off flavor.
It'll never, it doesn't have enough of its own flavor compounds to add much. It needs to rely on the base, whether it's something like a stout or whether it's something sour. It needs that thing to work its magic. It's really like an alchemical sort of reaction, isn't it? It's not simple.
Mm. Not simple at all.
What is simple?
Absolutely. Well, and maybe some of that variety you can see. I wonder if you want to just tell us about some of the beers you brew now, because I think they're all so different. Again, just the ones I've tried and how you've kind of arrived at some of those and what's kind of in the standard lineup. And maybe if you've got any specials coming up too, we'd love to know kind of what's day to day and what's kind of a one-off or maybe seasonal that you brew there.
Yeah, damn. I'm really, really bad prepared. So I had to have some beers here, right? So with the labels.
Need labels, yeah.
Nah, yeah, you have to look to the eventually to our website and you will find some. You will find our core range. The core range is Marlene. This is the Berliner Weisse without anything. So just how it have to be. So with 3.5% alcohol and yeah, different taste when it's different old, right? Mm. Because it changed the taste also, yeah. And this is the most interesting part of this beer style, I would say. And then we have Kennedy, and Kennedy is dry hopped. So I called it Kennedy because Kennedy said this stuff. So ich bin ein Berliner. Yeah, and the Berliner would say Weiße, Weste, Weste. So it was we. And it sounds like ich bin ein Berliner, Weiße. And also it's the American, so cold hopping is American way to flavor a beer with hops. So for a traditional Berliner or a German brewer, it's quite strange because usually we just used it in hot part, so not in the cold part. So we just had mostly the bitter substances in the beer. Mm. And that's not important in Berliner Weisse, right? Because else don't get sour. Yeah. And so I start using first in the first years also with American hops, because in studies I had more experiences with American hops. Mm. But then I had to think about it makes eventually better, more local. Mm. And also the German hop farmers have new interesting varieties. Mm. So eventually a German beer style fits better to German hops fits better to German beer style. And so I use mostly German hops now. So like Monroe fits perfectly to Kennedy, right? And Callista is quite interesting. And now I have an interesting hops called Zeus with the numbers quite
all right new.
Okay.
that's in the last half a year or so the hops I dry hop it with it. So it changed also with the hops. So I don't want to call it different because it's a technique to make it. So, yeah. And also the beer changed anyway, why I have to keep the same hops. So it's also a development. So in the beer, and I want to, it makes it more also attractive to the consumers, not to keep the same taste, because yeah. I said it changed anyway. And so, yeah, different hops makes it also different and interesting. And the third, Berliner Weisse, is Jasmine. Jasmine is called, I call this Jasmine because there are jasmine flowers inside. And yeah, it comes because I drank in US once a beer with jasmine flowers and I liked it. And I'm more a flower girl. So I like flowers and like to brew with because yeah, with fruits brew the others.
Mm, yeah.
So
yeah.
And why not? Yeah, it's also
different. Exactly. So. If you have your own brewery, mm-hmm. then you and you like flowers, you brew with flowers. That's why you have your own brewery,
that's it,
right?
Also, also.
What I love about
and,
this,
yeah, fruits is fruits, and fruits are just ripe once a year mostly. Mm,
yeah.
So, or you have to take frozen fruits.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. Why and everyone's doing it, like you say. It's better to be unique and do your own thing. Yeah.
Local. Local, absolutely. Unique, yeah, more other tastes. So yeah.
what I love about this is that it's like taking one or two really good recipes and then changing one or two small things each time. So let's take this recipe and age it for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 11 years, whatever the case is. And that's the only thing that changes. Then it's okay, let's take the same recipe and add in jasmine flowers. Let's take this recipe and add in, I don't know, woodruff or whatever's coming next. I think it's really, really cool. Or change just the hops. Like it's awesome.
Don't,
to be able to focus in on one
don't
style.
Don't change and also when you put fruits inside, then you add more liquid. Then you add more water from the fruits and also the sugar. And the sugar changes also because you increase also the Stammwürze, yeah, kind of. And with flowers, it's not that much. It's just aroma, So, and then I have two special beers in my core range. What's not that local? It's a ginger ale Berliner Weisse style with orange and pomegranate and lemon zests.
Yum.
And it's called Irmgard. And then I have hot Irmi with habaneros because I missed a little bit the spiciness of ginger. And with habanero, this imitates nice the spiciness. So it's not the real Berliner Weisse because our roots inside.
Right.
And this peels. So on this point, I would say it's not a Berliner Weisse anymore. Then yeah. Because it's a lot of roots.
Right. That's nice adjacent or almost.
Yeah.
Uli, what would you say is the biggest difference between a fresh Berliner Weisse and an aged Berliner Weisse in terms of the flavor and the aroma and the complexity?
Yeah, complexity, of course. Yeah, you said the Breton Musses increased it. Yeah, and in really fresh, I call it baby Weisse, you have no or not that much Breton Musses flavor. So, and also it's a little bit it's like a baby, yeah. So for me it's a whole life of a Berliner Weisse, like a whole life of a like a person kind of. So you start, it starts with the marriage of the words and the process. So in the moment, so it don't come from itself, because in the moment it's also a controlled mix fermentation. I leave them ferment together, but I can't brew each week, and so it's not possible to develop a nice mixed culture. So but I hope I could do it next year then to start with it. And so I have Lactobacillus and Saccharomyces broth beer. And with the marriage, I start the Berliner Weisse. And in this point, they start also growing together and fermenting together, blah, blah, blah. And so, of course, the Weisse, it's not that complex. So, of course, the Bretter Müsse started working, but of course, you could also taste it. It's different to a wheat beer, of course, but you still taste the wheat beer character also. And then gets really sour. So over the first year, so sometimes.
So it's like a teenager there with lots of attitude.
This teenager phase, so the puberty, I call it puberty, it's after four and a half months, often, it tastes like nothing.
Oh, funny.
So you taste it, so last week was better. but you know, this puppeteer, yeah, don't know you want it right or left, or you want your special, or you want together, mostly want together and be gray, have gray jackets, so bloß nicht, also puh. I'm part of a masses, kind of, yeah, and quite boring. Mostly they are boring. Around and so aging, maturating, kind of, yeah. I know my daughter is in the moment in this age. Yep. And so this is puberty, and the Berliner Weisse is something like this also. And but it's just some weeks, so, and then it's a young adult, so, and in this age, it starts also being less sour, but slowly, not fast, yeah, not so, oh yeah, now it's 6 months old, now it's not that sour, that's not true. This effect comes, so, around 1.5 years. In 1.5
years. Okay.
So then it starts being more wine-like, more, of course, it's complex then also. Sometimes it's decreased the sourness this much that it seems kind of bitter.
Huh, so, okay.
And in the first year, I opened beers because I thought, so, it's not sour anymore. Nobody would think this is a Berliner Weisse. So then I opened all the bottle again and blended again with sour young beers. I can imagine the people 300 years ago liked this when it's not that sour. And they preferred it then, because they like lager beer so much that I can imagine eventually they liked it a lot when it's exactly not that sour.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, in our days, so the people when they want a Berliner Weisse, then they know, oh, it's sour. And
yeah.
Right. Have to be sour, kind of.
Yeah, that's the association that's I've different. Always had with it, is sour or tart. So it's really interesting to know that, you know, obviously as it ages, it isn't necessarily that tart or sour, because Brett doesn't do that. You know, that's the lactobacillus. But I mean, what does an 11-year-old Berliner Weisse taste like?
Different.
So, okay, we're going to have to come to your...
You have to try it. You can't describe it. It's a little bit wine-like. So, and of course, like a Berliner Weisse, fruity, floral, depends on, yeah? Also, yeah. It depends how you store it. And right. So each bottle is an environment itself, yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't have 13 years old bottles, by the way.
yeah.
because I started the commercial brewery in 2016, yeah. So quite late. So I'm quite green and behind the ears still, yeah. And I still learn, so this is definitely and so but you can also taste the differences between the young one and the old ones, so cool. And also I did some trials with different Brettanomyces strains also in some batches.
Oh, see, yeah, experimentation. We're fascinated by all of this. Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
Of course, I have to find the bottles. So they're somewhere in the pellets.
All labeled somewhere. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping up in a minute.
That's also a problem.
But I do want to say, first off, I've got the t-shirt, which again, I love the branding, the beautiful snowy owl, the literal Schneeule. Better?
Yeah.
Getting there.
Thank you.
Yes. So how, if someone's visiting Berlin, what's their best way to find you and try all your beers?
The best way to find me is in a salon. This is in Wedding, so technically it's Mitte, but it's not really Mitte. So you have to go more in the north, yeah, in the freaky Wedding. So and the station is Rehberge, and then you have it's just around the corner there. So a really small bar, but you can try there a lot of specials, the normal core range, of course, and also old beers.
Oh, okay, old beers. We're all making notes.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So, till 2016. And you can also bring your not sour beer like friend with you because we have also. Franconian beers.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh, see, a whole other conversation there too. Oh my gosh, so much we could talk about.
Yeah, so Franconian lagers is also really, really a theme. So because my husband is from Franconia and we both love the beers because they are really good lagers. So of course they are not hoppy, often not hoppy. but really good, by the way. And I'm also a big fan of Ürige Alt, for example. Ooh. So it's another top fermenting beer style from Düsseldorf. So yeah, and so on. So a little bit hoppy beers, of course, all these craft beers. Not all. Some. Just some. Because it's really small. Yeah. And yeah. So and sometimes I have also, yeah, when we just talked about the core range, we could also talk about the special and the collaborations.
Ooh.
Because
ooh, yeah.
This is also interesting because of course I don't like it boring. And no. The people came sometimes with their beers and for example, Corona times was quite hard for the most clean beer brewers because they have a shelf life for max a year.
Right.
So, and then they are good. Yeah. And so they had a lot of beers left and especially these hobby beers.
Yeah,
it's a problem, yeah, with them and the age. But
yeah, head Brit. mix them with an old bill. Mix them with a Berliner, make a new style. I love it.
Yeah, you can refresh them. This is really the aha of this time. So take an IPA, put some lactobacillus and brettanomyces inside, and then it will come for new life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I think we need a trip to Berlin.
Yeah,
ladies. I agree. We need to come to the salon. I mean, this was also something really interesting, was that you opened up in 2020, and your pub or your bar there is serving all these different aged varieties and all of your different collaborations. But I love that, because everything is bottle conditioned, that it seems like you've got a pub of bottles. You know, as opposed to taps, and I'm sure that there are other things, but that was just awesome to me. I thought it was a cool concept.
Yeah, we just have four taps. Four.
Mm. Okay.
Four. So two very, sours very cool. And two normals.
Two normals. Yeah. Oh my gosh. See, I feel like we're only scratching the surface. We need to, you know, we definitely need to come visit and see these Franconian lagers and, you know, really do some proper reconnaissance, but I know we're running short on time, but I want to say first, Katie, do you have any other questions before we let Ulrika go?
Oh, I think I'm good. I just can't wait to go to Wedding and try it all out.
Exactly. It'll be our tour guide. And Tandy, I'm sure you have a list of very technical questions you'd love to dive into, but that's something for over more beers.
Yeah, we'll do it when we visit. Don't worry.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start to go ahead and wrap up then. So I want to say, Ulrika, thank you so much for taking time out. We are fascinated by this. And I think there's so much more clearly we could dive into and get into some of the minutiae of some of these things. They're fascinating. But definitely, we want to come out and drink some more of your lovely beer. But we will put the link in the show notes. Folks in Ireland, you can absolutely order online and it will come. It's not too ridiculously expensive. And I will say the bottles arrived just fine when we ordered some. So fantastic stuff. And of course, if anyone is in Berlin, go there. But I'll say again, thank you to all of our listeners. Again, we're at Beer Ladies Pod on most of the socials, or Beer Ladies Podcast on Facebook. And again, we have our link tree. You can find that, support us there. But with that, I'll say thank you again and goodbye from all of us. We'll see you next week. Thanks all.
Okay.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.